What's up, everybody? This is NExpress, the Nintendo show of GoombaStomp.com. We're here with another very exciting week of Nintendo news and topics. I'm one of your hosts, Tim Mason. Here with me, as always, is Ricky D.
What's up, Tim Mason? What's up, Nintendo Nation?
Patrick Murphy is in the other corner.
I think I've said this before, but I need an intro like Rick's. He just says the same thing every time, and it's perfect.
Yeah, I feel like...
I'm stuck trying to think of something every time you introduce me, but I'm never going to be that clever.
It's a me?
No.
No? Two on the nose?
Yeah.
Anyway, in our final corner, we have the latest member of the Goomba Stomp staff, Olivia Richmond.
Hello. How's also it going, not Olivia? A unique greeting, but good.
Keeping it classic. I like it. It got the point across, a greeting, so I feel like we're in a
I'll
good spot. But way more important than how you introduce yourself is how we get to know you. And how we like to do that on the show is through a game that we call Five Questions, where Ricky is going to ask you five very rapid questions, and you just kind of answer whatever your heart tells you to answer.
Okay.
So, Ricky, take it away.
All right, question number one. Olivia, what is your favorite holiday?
Favorite holiday? Hanukkah.
Okay.
And Halloween.
Together in one super day.
Not combined, just tied.
Lots of spooky candelabras.
Right. Okay, yeah. Who's your favorite video game character?
Toad.
Mm-hmm.
Toad? Interesting.
Okay. Good choice!
Did you read her first article published at GoombaStomp.com? It's all about Captain Toad. Question number three. What is your favorite video game of all time?
Super Smash Brothers.
Which one? The original?
I guess 4 is the one I play. I think Melee was the one I liked the most overall, but I haven't played that in a while, so I guess 4, because that's the one I can play the most adequately right now.
Okay, say you had your dream job and you can work from home, meaning you can work from anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. Where would you want to live?
San Francisco or LA?
What? Anywhere in the world, and you choose the most expensive city in the world to live in?
Well, not but they're world, expensive but... for a reason. They have the best stuff.
There is a lot of good stuff. I lived in San Francisco for 15 years, so there's nothing wrong with that town.
Y'all got to come to Montreal. That's all I got to say. Question number five. If two of the three companies had to merge for whatever reason, who would you prefer mergers into one company? Microsoft and Xbox, Xbox and Microsoft. Wait, no, that does not make it.
What?
Become one super Microsoft company.
In other words, Rick is suggesting that Nintendo not merge with either.
Microsoft, Nintendo, Nintendo, Sony, Sony, Microsoft. Microsoft, Sony.
This is a trick question. I would say, because I would want to say Sony and Nintendo, because those are the two I like. I don't like Xbox that much, really. But then if Nintendo and Microsoft got together, then Xbox might become better. So maybe I'll go with that.
I think that's the right answer. First of all, if Nintendo merged with Sony, we would get the worst movies based on Nintendo characters. Like, because Sony makes movies.
Oh my god, I didn't think about that, Rick. You're so right.
Yeah,
he was waiting to say
Sony,
that all day.
Let go of Spider-Man, for the love of God, please.
All right, well, I think you passed the five questions. If only based
you
on...
could fail those?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, well, you cheated on the first answer because you answered like twice. So one, but whatever, you passed. It's all good. Thank you very much.
That was a fun way to get to know you. But we're not done asking questions because I've got to know what you guys have been playing this week, our weekly ritual of just getting to know what's going on in the lives of our hosts. Let's start with you, Patrick. What have you been playing?
I haven't really been playing a whole lot, Tim, since I abandoned Octopath Traveler. I've been watching movies a lot lately, trying to get back more into the film section on the site. And there were a couple of Westerns that had anniversaries this month that I wanted to watch, as well as I've been watching. Then it got me on a Western kick, and I started watching a bunch of old Westerns. So that's what I've been doing this week. When I come home from work, I'm writing on Goomba Stomp, and then I'm watching Westerns.
I have been playing one of my favorite games of all time. That is right, Tim. I now have a new favorite game added to the list of Ricky D's favorite games of all time.
In the special segment that we have each and every week, Ricky's favorite game of the week.
Dude, we were supposed to review the game today with managing editor. Yeah, Mike was supposed to come on the show, and we were supposed to talk about the game. We can't do it today because he has family visiting, so we are going to review the game next week. But dear listeners, the game is called Salt and Sanctuary. It is now out on the Nintendo Switch. It is an absolutely incredible game. If you like Dark Souls, pick it up. If you've never played Dark Souls but want to play Dark Souls when it gets released on a Nintendo Switch, pick it up. This is the perfect game to get you ready for Dark Souls. It is unbelievable, guys. Unbelievable. I honest to God think that this is the most underrated video game I've ever played in my life. I cannot believe that people are not raving about this game. Patrick, it is that good. Like, it's amazing. I can't wait to talk about it next week. So if you're listening to the podcast, I recommend picking up the game so next week you can join in the conversation. We're probably going to talk about this game for about at least 45 minutes. You don't have to worry about us spoiling the review because really there's not much to spoil, but there's so much to talk about. That's what I've been playing. Dude, game's amazing, Tim. Have you played Dark Souls?
Yeah, I've played a little bit of one and like half of three.
Okay, do you like Dark Souls?
It's fine.
Okay, so here's the thing. I've only played Bloodborne. I have never played Dark Souls 1, 2,
or 3.
See, that's
the one I really want to play, but I don't have a PlayStation yet.
Right, but the thing is now, I just want to play Dark Souls because of this game. Like, there's dragons, there's multiple characters you could choose from. You could be a thief, you could be a ranger, you could be a cook. The amount of weapons in the game, the amount of special abilities, magic potions, even the variety of creatures. Like, I mean, I'm playing this game, guys, and I honest to God think it's my favorite game on a Nintendo Switch. I like it more than Zelda. Because with Breath of the Wild, yeah, amazing game. I called it a masterpiece, right? But, you know, you always encounter the exact same enemies. You can walk around and pick up your Kurok seeds, and it's all very much the same, although it's an amazing game. The variety in this game is unbelievable. Like, the amount of creatures and enemies and villains that you encounter, the level design, each and every single stage looks incredibly different from the previous stage. Just like the secrets that you unlock, it reminds me of when I played the original Zelda games for the NES. I have not used a wiki at all. I did not use YouTube. I did not go online to try to figure out how to beat the game. I've been slowly discovering all the little secrets and hidden gems and Easter eggs by myself. And I got to tell you, I haven't felt this engaged in a video game in a very long time. I've put in 45 hours so far. Yeah. So anyways, next week, guys, next week.
Spoilers, he likes it. So, Olivia, how about you? What have you been playing?
I've been playing Overwatch, like always, and then two new games. Mm-hmm. by the way, speaking of Overwatch, I know this isn't Nintendo, but did you guys see the short for D.Va?
Absolutely, I did.
I was not impressed with that.
It was the worst short so far.
I don't think it added any depth to her character after all the emotional ones they showed, like Bastion and May. Like, that was a huge letdown. It was like a Disney Channel cartoon. I just didn't like it.
Well, can I ask you guys a question? Because I know, Olivia, you and Tim, you love Overwatch. Do you think it's possible that the game can actually run well on Switch? Because I don't think it would ever come to Switch. And if so, would you even play it on Switch?
I don't think I would.
Because, correct me if I'm wrong, but you can only play... Well, I know the answer. I'm asking a question I already know the answer to. You can only play online, right? And so if the advantage Nintendo has over, say, a PS4 and an Xbox One is the fact that you could take it on the go, it wouldn't matter with a game like Overwatch because you can't play it on the go online. You can't play it at all.
Right.
So I'm not entirely sure why people want Overwatch on a Nintendo Switch. It seems pointless.
Because they don't have the other consoles or PC
that
to
is
run
true.
It on.
Yeah, that is true, I guess, yeah.
If you could, like, link accounts, I would maybe think about it so that I could play something like Overwatch
because,
on the go.
Because, I mean, Xbox, I would avoid playing Overwatch even on that because of the amount of, like, kids and the chats and stuff. So I couldn't even imagine the Switch Overwatch. I don't think I could handle it.
And Olivia, have you been playing anything else?
Yeah, I actually just started playing Next Up Hero, which is sort of a mobile-ish type style dungeon crawler type game. I don't know. It just feels like a mobile game to me when I played it. Like, it's very vibrant, very cute, you know, very simple.
Does it use the touchscreen function at all?
Not that I know of. Okay. I think it's has potential. I think it's fun. I think what makes it cool is that all the different heroes have these different personalities and different abilities. And there's a lot of different options in the game itself. Like other players create their own journeys in a way. And you can go on them yourself and try to complete them. So it has that, but I think there's a false sense of variety in the game. Like, there are different heroes with different abilities, but the gameplay is still very similar. Like, you have long-range people, where you basically just stay back and shoot, and you have up-close melee people, where you just slash them and run. So it's like, they have different weapons, but you sort of do the same thing. And the enemies, they're all look different, and there's different varieties and rarities of them, but it's like the same style. Like, one will go into the ground. He's like a tree stump. He'll go into the ground and you'll come back up and shoot something at you. And most of them have the same annoying effect on you. Like, it'll drain you. It's like poison, and your controller is like vibrating, and the character is like groaning like over and over, and it lasts way too long.
So this is basically a platformer, an indie game. It's called, what's it called? Mm-hmm. What's it called?
Next Up Hero.
All right, released on a Switch, I think last week or this week. Because you know the problem with the Switch is that there's so many indie games that get released.
I was going to say that there just is so many.
It's like, would you recommend this game over, say, Dead Cells or Salt and Sanctuary or like? What was the game that they just released, which I haven't had a chance to play yet? That was a surprise announcement. The one where you your character shrinks and grows.
Morphe's Law.
Morphe's
Law. It's a shooter. Yeah, I've been eyeing this one. I'm like, so I want to buy it. But I'm also like, what if it completely burns me? But I'm like, I want to buy it.
I wouldn't put it above games like those. But it is like a quick game. So if you're like me, like, for example, I like to play Overwatch in between other games I'm playing, like a quick game of Overwatch between things. So it's sort of like that. I guess, yeah, just maybe like do a quick adventure. The reason I don't think it's a game you can play for a long time is I don't really know why I'm playing it. I don't know what I'm working towards. Like, I know I get to gain levels. I know it has a very basic story that you can complete. And I know I can gain other heroes and abilities and things like that. But why?
It looks really generic. You know, I would just recommend people, if you're looking for a good indie platformer, I talked about this like a few weeks ago, play Bomb Chicken. Like, I Bomb Chicken's a game I will play every so often. I save it for when I'm on the road, because I find it's one of those games that's easily to play on handheld mode. Like, I can't play a game like Salt and
Sanctuary. That's another thing I wanted to bring up about this game as well, is I'm not legally blind, but I am very blind. I have very strong contacts in, so I can see. And when I played this game on the handheld version, it was a little hard for me to see. I couldn't really read a lot of the stuff. It was very small, because I'm going on a plane, like I said, and I don't think I would play it on the plane because it's sort of hard for me to see.
I want to clarify one thing first. So this is not a platformer, right? This is more like a dungeon crawler.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay, it's a dungeon crawler. All right.
Yeah.
The moral of the story is, kids, everyone go out and buy Bomb Chicken. I'm telling you, it's really good. it's honest to God, like, it's just such a fun game to play. Like, I love, first of all, the character playing has the chicken that lays these bomb eggs. But it's actually really clever. Like, the puzzles, the actual stages when you crawl through the dungeons, like the quote-unquote boss battles, but they're not really typical traditional boss battles. It's an amazing game, and it's super fun. Best game to play on the go, because you can play handheld mode, and it's a game where essentially you press one or two buttons, and that's about it. But fantastic game. I wrote a review on it on the website. Go read it.
Okay, so what else have you been playing?
So I've actually been playing Pokken, which is for I was sort of forced to play it. I do like fighting games, but I never really got into Pokken. But I'm going to Pokemon Worlds this weekend in Nashville. And I actually play the card game, but I didn't get
Hell a... Hell yeah. I'm not on anymore, you guys.
It's awesome. you don't mean
wait, people okay.
that play the card game.
I don't mean to like detract from anything you're saying right now. We should talk about Pokken because it's a great game. But what deck are you bringing?
I will actually be playing Xerneas Break.
Okay.
Because it's good against Rayquaza, which is being overhyped right now. It's good against all the meta decks, and it's going to be rotated in September, so might as well keep playing it while I can. And then Zoropod's my backup. I always loved Galissapod. He's just my favorite.
He's super dope, but...
Mm-hmm. He's falling a little bit behind, though, so...
Yeah.
So...
You're going all the way to Texas to play a card game.
It's in Nashville.
It's the championship. It's the championship.
You got it. That's Tennessee,
it's
Rick.
In the South, whatever. So I didn't buy a badge in time, so it got sold out. So my only way to get a badge to play in the side events in the card games was to get a Pokken thing. So I entered the Pokken tournament without ever playing, just so I could get a spectator badge. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to play. So I got the game. I got the controller. And I just looked up, like, who is a god-tier fighter in this game? And it was Pikachu and some others I didn't care about. So I was like, all right, so I'm just going to only play Pikachu. I'm just going to master Pikachu. And I spent the whole week basically only playing Pikachu. And I'm better than most beginners, but when I play against people in Japan, I sort of get wrecked. So we'll see what happens when I get there. I like the fighting style. I like the switch from the two phases. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I've been having fun with it. It's just I'm not good enough for a tournament.
I thought Nashville was in Texas. I thought it was like cowboy land.
It's more like country land. This is more like country land. Country music.
It's the home of country music, but that doesn't mean it's Texas.
My aunt was like, are you going to go take a tour of Elvis's house? I was like, no, I'm not.
You could go play Pokemon Go at his grave.
I actually don't play Pokemon Go.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Which brings me to another random offshoot. I'm not excited for Pokemon Let's Go, which I also wrote an article on, but I am not excited for that.
Here we go, Tim. Tim, cut in. Tell her you played the game. Tell her why she's wrong.
You just got to play it. Until you play it, it doesn't make sense. But as soon as you're holding that Pokeball and you're like, catch a Pokemon and you feel it in your palm, that's when the game is... Then you're like, oh, now I get the point of it. When they're just like, hey, it's kind of like Pokemon Go, I think every hardcore Pokemon fan is just like, why don't you just shoot me in the head right now?
But, yeah, that's basically what's happened.
But when you actually play it, you're like, oh no, this is like, someone was like, what if we made Pokemon Go a good game? That's what this is.
Yeah, because Pokemon Go is not a good game.
I tried to like it for so long, and then I always drop it, and I think I'm finally like putting that thing to sleep for good. I can't anymore.
I love Eevee, so that's one reason I might get the game.
We've said this before on this podcast. I don't think any of us had any interest in Pokemon Let's Go before actually playing it at E3. You have to actually see it live.
I was at E3 and I did see it and I did not get in line.
Oh, okay.
Well, because you didn't have a press pass.
Right? Unfortunately, that's one where you actually have to like feel it in action, I think.
All right. I'll give it a shot. Tim, what have you been playing?
What have I been playing? Actually, very little of my Nintendo products, a tiny bit of Pokemon, because I'm still very slowly playing Ultra Moon, and a tiny bit of Octopath, but that is it. Most of my time is spent remodeling part of my house to get ready for my baby, and the rest of my time has been on Destiny lately.
Back in the Destiny groove, huh?
There's an expansion coming. There's a big event going on. Ryan's making fun of me. I don't care. Doing it anyway.
How is Octopath treating you? What are you thinking of that game so far?
I think it's stellar. I honestly think it's such a natural evolution to, like, standard JRPGs that I want to see more games pick up a similar gameplay style. Because it's quite turn-based, but it's like, enhanced turn-based, and I get into it. I get really into it.
The gameplay is very good. How far along are you, though?
A couple hours. I've just been focusing on my thief story, just, like, trying to decide if I want to go pick anyone else up.
So you're not very far at all then.
3 hours, 4 hours, not very far.
Yeah.
Enough to like get the game and what it's about.
Yeah. I'll be curious to see if you make it. I mean, I had put in about, I think, 30 hours into it, and that's when I stopped. There was a point that I reached where I thought, nope, no more of this. But I had really enjoyed it up to then. And honestly, that 30 hours was fun. So I have no regrets about getting
it. What changed your mind?
There was, and I'm not sure if this was a glitchy thing or not, but there was a difficulty. The world basically created an entire difficulty spike that went against everything I had been doing to prepare for it.
You felt betrayed.
I feel like I hit a glitch. It didn't feel natural. After playing video games for 30 years, this did not feel like a natural difficulty spike, like the designer was just putting this in there. It felt like I confused the game by how I was playing, how I was choosing to level up my characters, and it decided to raise the difficulty of the world around me, yet portray that difficulty as if it was something far beneath me. So I was suddenly getting beat up by characters that were 15 levels below me. They were chopping half my health off in one hit. And regular encounters were becoming like boss fights. They could last 15 minutes. And this happened all in one fell swoop after I completed a character story. And I think it's when I hit level 40 on a particular character. All of a sudden, the entire world got raised way up. But it didn't show that. Because I don't know if you played Octopath Olivia, but the game tells you, you know, if you're wandering into an area, it tells you, oh, you should be level 23 when you entered here.
Right.
Or you should be level 35. Recommended levels, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the recommended levels did not change, but every single enemy I encountered did. And so all of a sudden, everything was tough.
I wonder if it's a glitch, because my Salt and Sanctuary game, when I fight a boss, it won't show me a health meter. And the game is really, really hard, guys. So imagine fighting a boss. It's a super, super hard game, like Dark Souls equivalent, right? And you can't even see the meter, the health meter for the boss. You have no idea how many times you have to hit him. You just have to keep on going. It's so, so frustrating.
Huh. That's weird, because that game is supposed to have a health meter, I thought. There was a review I read that said they had very long health meters.
Oh, yeah, it does. But for some reason, when I fight a boss, I do not see it. And there's all kinds of weird glitches. Like, but the thing is, it's weird because the glitches are actually enhancing my gameplay. Like, it's making it a lot more fun. Like, I was playing with my nephew yesterday, and the screen would just start glitching. It looked like there was lightning, but there's no lightning. There's no rainstorm in the game, but there's, like, these lightning bolts shooting across the screen, which just added to the ambience and the mood. But by the way, Patrick, if I lived in the same city as you, I would be playing this game with you, because you can play multiplayer, which is one of the reasons why I love this game. Playing with someone is so incredibly fun. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So rare. I want to know right about that.
Now, here's the thing. So I don't know why, but you can't play on, at least not that I'm aware of. You can't play online. If so, I would have asked Patrick.
It forces you to do couch co-op,
which is cool. But as the guy that hosts the co-op podcast on our website, if your best friend lives in Portland, that sucks.
I guess, but there's so little games that you can play with your friends in person. Even racing games these days,
you can't. if you play on Steam or on PlayStation 4, you can play co-op online. So, I don't know. Maybe you can. Maybe I should look into it. Because, Tim, I think it would be the perfect game for you and Ryan to play for your Game Boys podcast. Especially because he loves Dark Souls. I'll look into it after the podcast. But anyhow, talk about this next week. What are we talking about today, Tim? We're like 20 minutes in.
So this week is dedicated to realistic Smash Bros. Character picks, like keeping it super down to earth for a reason, and we'll talk a little bit about that later, as well as our hopes and expectations for Nintendo's online system, which, if you look at the calendar, it's supposedly coming out next month. So with zero word on that, we are kind of just playing a guessing game. So we're going to actually guess and try to figure out what's coming, hopefully in September, but we'll see. So why don't we take a break? When we come back, let's get into Smash Bros. So don't go anywhere. Welcome back to N-Express. It is time for a Smash Bros. Discussion. Last time we picked characters, it was kind of an anything-goes affair. We were throwing out just our wildest hopes and dreams. And this time, I think we should keep it a little bit closer to what might actually be coming. So the first person to say Goku is immediately eliminated, as sad as that is. But we have some evidence that we're getting more characters than just the most recent additions. Namely, we finally got Simon Belmont, and we got some new Echo Fighters, and we finally got King K. Rool. So dreams are coming true, but according to Sakurai, that's not it. Rick, do you want to tell everyone that story?
Well, from what I understand is that he sort of like hinted that they're going to be releasing more characters, and I'm pretty sure we're going to get at least one more direct dedicated specifically to Smash Ultimate. And if they're going to, because the game comes out in November, right? So we're going to get at least one more direct. And if we get one more direct, that means they have something big to announce. And I, honest to God, think, and I was going to say this last time on the podcast after when we recorded a podcast right after the last direct, right? And we talked about Waluigi. And I was going to say this, but I just didn't want to curse it. But now it's like, it seems pretty obvious that we are, I think, realistically going to get Waluigi in the game. And I think they're holding off for the next direct.
Question, what about his trophy? Do you think they would keep him as a trophy, or do you think that's a trick? Because they don't have him as a player and a trophy.
The point of this segment is characters that realistically can appear in Smash, right? So we're not going to pick Nathan Drake, for example, right? But
Master Chief.
Exactly. But I don't know. Like, yeah, I get what you're saying. There is a trophy, but I'm sure you guys noticed it was like circulating like all the video game blogs on Twitter. People were showing images of the last direct, and Sakurai was sitting next to a chair that was purple and yellow.
Yep, the chair was a different color.
Right, so that might just be him or Nintendo teasing the audience because they know everybody wants Waluigi in the game, and those are his colors. But at the same time, like, even with the intro, starting with Luigi, and he gets murdered, and then we get that his spirit come out of his body. So we know that connects to the secret mode, which they haven't revealed yet, which we all think could be a single-player mode. We're not entirely sure. But it could also just be, like, setting up the reveal of Waluigi in the next Nintendo Direct. So my first pick is Waluigi. I think it could happen. And I think out of all the characters left in Nintendo's, like, history, he's at the top of the list.
Do you think that it would come out of the fan response to seeing him as the assist trophy? Because it didn't go over super well. I know a lot of people, like, kind of like I did
think they were
with
memeing
Alucard.
It. I don't think people are actually truly upset. I think they are just memeing that everyone's here thing that happened at the first one at E3. But obviously, as everyone knows, they meant everyone from the past Super Smash Brothers games are in Ultimate. They didn't mean everyone from Nintendo, but people were just like, what about Waluigi as like a meme? I don't know if people are truly dying for Waluigi or not, but I don't know.
I think a lot of people are. A lot of people.
They get nasty about it, too. They have gotten nasty.
I honestly hope you are correct about him being a possibility, even though he has an assist trophy, because I did notice, I forget which map it is, I did notice Captain Toad in the back fixing, like tinkering or like working on a building. And that made me think he might not be a character because he's already in the background. So
Toad is in the game.
Yeah.
So yeah.
He's just taking hits for Peach.
Exactly. He's technically in the game. Yeah.
Yeah, but Captain Toad is like it's a character unto himself at this point.
He can't jump. He just walks around, finds some stuff.
There might be. I mean, they leave it to Sakurai to figure out how to use him, Tim.
So are you
People
choosing Captain Toad?
Captain Toad.
But is that your pick? Do you think that's realistic?
I think Captain Toad is completely realistic. I think they can figure out something to do with him.
I think
they can get around the jumping thing. They're not going to make him not jump. Of course, he's going to actually have to jump. But they'll probably make it really special if they do. They'll give it some sort of flair that makes it special seeing a Toad jump in the air, period.
But he doesn't necessarily have to jump. He can use a device to jump.
Historically, you guys, he's the best jumper. He got that long jump. He's fast.
He also could just have a rocket pack or something, anything, right? Because, you know, he's an explorer. There's all sorts of things that they could do to make him.
In Super Mario Bros. 2, the American version, if I'm not mistaken, I think Peach was able to jump the furthest, but...
Wait, no, you're right. Peach has
Peach
a glide.
Float. Luigi could jump high. Toad could barely jump. He could just pull stuff out of the ground really fast.
He was just really... In later games, like Super Mario or New Super Mario Bros., he's just faster. He doesn't jump farther. That's Luigi's thing.
Yeah, he's quick.
He's quick. Okay, Olivia, you got
that would be my pick, but I think it's a very realistic choice. All right, so Olivia, who do you think should be in the game?
Captain Toad.
All right, you're a big Captain Toad fan. I think I read on some of your posts.
Yes.
I mean, you did a Smash Brothers post, did you not?
Sorry, what?
You did a Smash Brothers post, didn't you?
Yeah, I talked about Evo, and I talked about Captain Toad.
Right. So that's why I remember that one for sure. All right, so what
I
would
mean,
Tim
I think it is realistic.
Tim is concerned about Captain Toad's movement. Would Captain Toad jump?
Well, people keep talking about that, and I did address that in the article, where, I mean, he doesn't have to be exactly as he is in the game, and also there's a lot of ways around that. He could take off the backpack, throw it on the ground, and when he jumps up, or he could take out of his backpack, take out the propeller helicopter helmet that he has in other games. He also, apparently, in some past games in Mario's history, has been able to climb walls. So I feel there are a lot of ways around that, but people are just holding on to it because they're Toad haters and just don't want him to be in the game.
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't get the Toad haters out there. I see him as the most realistic possibility of any.
I know. He's
no.
been there. Yes,
no
he's
way.
Been
I got
there.
One.
He's been
I got
there
one
forever.
For
more than Waluigi. I was going to
no,
say,
I got
don't
one.
Think Waluigi being an assist trophy, I think, does cancel him out.
I got
but
one.
It better.
Okay, Tim, go, because I got one could be your one. So what's your one?
We'll see. We'll see. Springman. Absolutely going to be Springman.
No way. We talked about this. There's no
Is this
way.
Someone from ARMS?
Yeah.
From ARMS?
No.
I thought so, too.
We
I
had
thought
a
someone
huge...
from ARMS would be in it. I mean, okay, they're fighters.
Here's the thing. If they... It is possible, but if... And it's very realistic, so it counts for this discussion here today, because we're talking about characters who realistically can be included in Smash. But if they include any of the characters from ARMS in Smash, that means they are giving up on that franchise. Because you're taking characters from a fighting game that's brand new, still new. It hasn't
that's
even
the
been 2 years
opposite
yet.
Of logic, and I 100% disagree.
No, because Splatoon is in it.
Yeah, but Splatoon's not a fighting game. Like, you're taking characters from a fighting game, putting those
they're
characters
not even
in a
similar fighting bad. Game.
Why
you
would
know
I
what,
go
you
and
know
play
Smash
ARMS?
Is?
Why would I play it's... ARMS ever again if those characters are in Smash?
Because it's going to be the one or two. It's going to be Jump or Springman and then Ribbon Girl.
Because you
like
can
an alternate
you can...
skin.
Yeah, Echo.
Yeah, exactly. She's not
well,
even.
Well, because if you want to play with ARM characters competitively in a good game, then you play Ultimate. If you want to just play with a bunch of kids or like your cousins, then you play ARMS.
No. Okay, here's the thing. Yes, it's realistic. Yes, they might actually do it, but it can work two ways. It can actually help with the sales of
I would think so.
Which it
ARMS.
Would, because
it
that's
could.
What Smash Bros. Does. 100% all
it
has ever done.
Yeah, maybe. It's a good pick.
It's where
okay,
they
so
send
what
stuff,
I
where they send
I think
stuff to
Rick,
come back to life.
Rick does have a point, though, because it could essentially just make people think, why play ARMS anymore?
Okay, because one of these is clearly a three-dimensional fighter a la, like, Punch-Out, and one of these is a two-dimensional, almost platformer-style fighter. They're very, very different games.
I know they're different, but at the same time, people might just say, like, why don't you put these characters in a Smash Brothers game then? I don't know. It all depends on how well they play. It is a little weird. I agree. Like, I'm
that's
not
like,
sure that...
By the same logic, because Mario is in Super Smash Bros. And it has platforms that he can jump on, why make another Mario game?
Yeah, but it's
that's
not
the
a platform.
Same, that's
game.
The same
that's
logic.
A series.
Right there.
That's a series. You're not putting... That's like putting Mario in, like, in a Sonic game.
Okay, so, but if this... In this franchise... which is all about special guests. It's literally all it's ever been about. If the guy from the newest franchise doesn't show up, then I think that franchise looks way closer to dead.
And I sort of agree with that.
If he doesn't show up, I'm concerned about the future of ARMS. Not that I was ever concerned.
Plus,
but
they can use the subtitle Springs Into Action.
Exactly. You can totally picture it already.
Well, one side of this is ARMS could actually be dead. There might never be another ARMS. It's not like it went gangbusters or something. They did a good job supporting it, and I think it sold modestly well. But, you know, other games have sold modestly well, and they never continued on with those things. So we'll see how much their interest is.
I like ARMS. Honestly, I don't need a sequel. Like, it's good as it is. I personally do not need a sequel. Like, I played it. It was fine. You know, I feel like nobody wants to play the game. As soon as Smash comes out, nobody's going to want to play the game. Everyone's just going to play Smash.
Give Smash a solid 2 years on the market, and, like, people are going to move on after a couple of months, like the casual crowd. The fighting crowd that's really into Smash is going to stick around for forever, but they're also going to want to play other games because they're not going to exclusively play Smash for forever. So, like, realistically...
Yeah, Leffen plays other games, and he won Evo.
Exactly, so...
Recently, there was an article published over at our website and was talking about Mario Tennis Aces and how, like, it's only been like one month or two months, whatever. Yeah, and the game is
it's dead.
Like, nobody really cares to play it anymore. But I was like, most games, like, after like a few weeks, you move on to the next game. There's so many games being released. I have a backlog now. Like, you know, like, I have a backlog of all, like, I went through my backlog and I have a backlog again. And it doesn't help when I'm playing games like Salt and Sanctuary and I'm going to sink in 80 hours into that game. And then I have to move on to Dead Cells and God knows what's next. Dark Souls on Switch. Like, I don't have time to keep on playing Mario Tennis Aces. It's the game I'm going to whip out when someone comes over and I want to play like some kind of like multiplayer game. Sure. But I'm not going to keep on playing Mario Tennis Aces. Realistically, nobody's going to keep on playing any game. So it's weird because the same applies with a game like ARMS. Like, I think ARMS, like, how long realistically could it have, you know, lasted? Like, I mean, maybe at the beginning of the Switch days because there wasn't a lot of games released. But now there's like 500 games on the Switch.
Online games need to last. You need to build communities like that. That's how they survive, because then by the time the next one comes out, I don't know, they want to keep selling those things over and over again. If there's not a robust community, then they're not going to keep selling anymore.
But Nintendo's too slow on the, like, I mean, ARMS.
Look, Splatoon. Look at Splatoon. They've done a brilliant job creating.
Yeah, but they released ARMS right before releasing Splatoon, so they basically let ARMS die because they knew everyone was just going to jump on Splatoon.
Yeah, and I think they also don't really care that much about ARMS. So
no, but you know, but even when Mario Tennis Aces, we're totally off topic here, but like, they're finally going to release Diddy Kong, like an additional character, in September. But like, it's like a month after the game comes out, and I don't know. Maybe technically that's a good amount of time to wait. But at the same time, I feel like people are moving on. Anyhow,
I did have one. I was going to say I have one to bring it back, so I can tell you after.
Okay, well, my last pick is not a Nintendo character. It's Crash.
Really?
Bandicoot. Yeah. Because the thing
I've
is
heard
Crash,
that.
Well, the game got released on Switch. Okay. He's like, you know, when you look
terrible.
Yes. When you look at the some of the most popular, some of the greatest video game characters of all time, You look at guys like Snake, Cloud, you know, all of these characters are in Smash, right? There's like the
iconic
history.
Yeah.
Iconic, and they've been around for a long time. Like, we talked about Shovel Knight, like, last week or the week before, where it's like maybe it's a little too early to bring a character like Shovel Knight into Smash, because what does that mean? We're going to have to bring every amazing character from every amazing indie game into Smash? There's just no room, right? There's actually an indie game called Brawl Brothers that you can play on Switch, which has a bunch of indie characters in it. And it's not as good as Smash.
It's called Brawl Out, I think.
Brawl Out, sorry, right. Yeah, I talked about it a while back. I liked it, it's okay. Anyhow, I honestly gotta think we will get it. We will get him in Smash. I think it's a realistic pick. I can see them actually making an amiibo for the character. And why not? I mean, Sonic's in it. Mega Man's in it.
That's what I was going to bring up. It seems like every time, every game, they release a new non-Nintendo fighter. So it's possible.
Okay, here's my problem with this. Sony is still in direct competition with Nintendo. Nintendo wouldn't have put Sonic on their consoles until Sega was out of the picture, right? And they didn't. Hmm. And then they buddied up with Sega, and Sega made a lot of games for their consoles. Sega became a loyal company to Nintendo. Capcom, always been a loyal company to Nintendo. They've always had a great relationship. So that's how Mega Man gets on there.
Okay, but what about
Konami, whatever. They've made games for Nintendo. Nintendo goes a long ways back. Yeah. So then you've got Square Enix, and Nintendo was trying to cozy up to Square to get Square to put games out on their system. So putting Cloud on was a good way to do that, to get in the good graces of Square and sort of reestablish the relationship they once had. They are not looking to reestablish a relationship with Sony. They don't have a relationship with Sony. And even though Crash has showed up on the Switch, it was well after everybody else did, and fine, that's all fine and dandy, but they're not going to put Crash in Smash. That's
but they put
not
the game on Switch. I get
represent
the point.
Sony.
Technically Naughty Dog, which I know is under the umbrella of Sony, but it's Naughty Dog, and the game is on Switch. I mean, if they brought the game to
the
Switch,
game
the character...
Is, that's
but the,
fine, but they're
but
not going to
the character
put him in
technically
Smash,
is on Switch.
Yeah, but they're like not the going to put him in Smash. That's not going to happen. They're like, they're not going to...
I think it's a very realistic choice. I really do think it's realistic.
I think it's a stretch.
Realistic sure. possibility than that. You know, speaking of how they release a new Pokemon each time they have a Smash, and I'm thinking it's going to be Decidueye or Incineroar.
What? No. There's no way.
They're Tim. Like, yeah, they put them into Pokken. They're like, yeah,
no,
I feel like
I kinda...
they're...
Maybe I'm wrong, and Tim, you're like the Pokemon expert, but I kind of feel like we have a Pokemon fighting game, so like maybe like Eevee and Pikachu and the trainer would fit.
You're
in
talking
Smash,
about
but...
they already have a fighting game, but that's not Smash. Smash is its own entity. Smash is like Smash transcends fighting genre. Like
I mean,
any
you
other
guys
fighter,
know they release a Pokemon each time.
Historically, yes, they've added at least one Pokemon every game. I wasn't sure that they're going to do it this time, but I think it is a safe guess. I would guess Decidueye before I would guess
me
Decidueye,
too.
But
I really think Decidueye.
Because the thing is, when you mention those two characters, like I would think, like out of all the Pokemon, like I don't know,
they're
I'm not
from
a Pokemon
the last
expert.
Set, the starters of the last core Pokemon game they created.
Right, but which
they
generation?
Were the, I don't know generations, to be honest, but it was the last game that they released that's core. They were the starter Pokemon's last evolutions. So they sort of represent, like Greninja represented the last one.
But Greninja is generation what?
Six.
Six? Okay,
we'll be here
well,
all night.
I'm just wondering, like, I guess the point I'm trying to make here is there a generation prior to 8 that they haven't included a Pokemon? Because if so, I would feel like they're going to go backwards before choosing someone.
I don't think
someone.
They would, because
they don't have a
Decidueye
Pokemon
is so big right now.
And he's from 7?
Yeah, they have Greninja was from Generation 6, and that was on Wii U. And then for this generation, no Pokemon has been added yet.
Okay, so that's where I'm confused. We're on Generation 7, not 8.
No. Yeah, 8's coming out in 2019.
Okay, my bad.
Right, so the last core game.
Yeah,
okay. The last core game they created, like
Ultra
the last actual
Sun
one.
Yeah,
Sun
and Moon.
That they
correct.
Were the starters' last evolution, and
okay.
Greninja was the a last evolution of a starter for the previous game.
I thought Ultra Sun and Moon was Generation 8 for some reason, and we didn't get a Pokemon for Generation 7, so I thought we would get one from Generation 7 before moving on to Generation 8.
I think Decidueye or Incineroar are a safe
choice. Oh, Incineroar. I recognize that because I played Sun and Moon, and that was the
I hate Incineroar myself, but I feel like Incineroar and Decidueye are possibilities.
Sometimes
it's aesthetic. You got to remember, like, it's aesthetics, too, and Incineroar could make a
he looks awful. I hate him.
I think
he literally blasts people with fire from his crotch. I hate him. He's horrible.
He's goofy.
Decidueye is like... Who is Decidueye in Evolution? A Robin Hood, and Link. He's like Green Arrow.
Yeah, it's funny that you mention all these characters because me and all of my friends just came up with terrible, terrible puns that we all named our Rowlets.
Oh,
and it was just... It got so painful. Like, it started out, and I was like, guys, I named mine Robin Hoot. That's a good pun.
I actually like that.
So then my friend comes back, and he named his leg Owl Loss.
Okay, this is getting too much.
It's stretching. And then my last buddy, Ryan, comes out, and he's like, mine's Oliver Queen, the Green Arrow. And I was like,
Ryan. Okay, the first one was like, that was good. Then it got too far.
Yeah, but at the same time, it got better because it was so bad. Anyway, I think that's
a
safe...
Robin Hoot. That's cute. I would name a bird that if I had a bird.
Especially if you had a Pokemon that was an archer and an owl. I don't know. It was too there not to name my Pokemon that. I think you are probably right. It would be Decidueye. I think you could make a case that maybe Tapu Koko. Maybe.
Nope. He's a legendary.
I mean, Mewtwo's a legendary, so nice try. I also think that if they're going to cross-promote, that could be around the time that Zerora actually comes out. And so maybe we could get a cool electric cat that looks like he could be good in a fight.
Yeah, he
I
looks
doubt
cool.
It, but he could.
No, I don't think so either, but he looks cool. I prefer him, but... Oh, well.
I would be really excited if it was like, hey, there's a new Pokemon. Hey, he's already in another video game. Go get him at GameStop or whatever. That could be really fun. I doubt they will, but yeah. I think another Pokemon is
the only guesses I have.
I have one that I've said for all of my unrealistic predictions, but it's like completely dependent on the future of the franchise. And there is a small hope, and I'm going to throw it out there because it could happen. If No More Heroes becomes fully exclusive to the Switch, with Travis Touchdown coming back to the Switch, I think there's maybe a chance that he finally shows up.
He's got the same chance as Bayonetta.
Bayonetta got in. Exactly. Yep. So
that's
the
only precedent you've got for that.
I think
DLC.
The DLC character, unfortunately, but man, I hope he shows up. Even if he's like kind of neutered and not his regular R-rated self, I'd take it so fast.
So I mean, Skull Kid—that's always a possibility because he's such a popular character.
I was waiting for someone to say
he's been
something
popular
from his
for
Majora.
So long. I've been saying Majora's Wrath would be like the dopest thing in the world, but
yeah, but this is the game where they finally are including everything. Ridley's been a fan choice for so long, and they're finally including things that people have wanted for so long. So why not now, Tim? Why not now, your precious Skull Kid from the worst Zelda game ever made?
You think Skull Kid, or you think they'd pick a certain wizard from a very popular Zelda game?
Geno is also a, but I think there's more complications because of Square there. Not that they couldn't pull it off, and they could if they wanted to, but Skull Kid's theirs, and that would be an easy one. I think that's more realistic than Geno.
I also think you could go, like, there's such a backlog of Zelda villains that you could take. Everyone's always like, there's just Ganondorf. I'm like, no, historically, there have been some pretty significant Zelda baddies that could show up, too.
Yeah, but I think Skull Kid is the one that sticks out most with people. Also, he at least can claim two games.
Yeah, and we did get the visual of the moon and the last Nintendo Direct,
yes.
Like, you know, for all we know, we could get more characters from Majora's Mask, but Skull Kid seems to be, like, I guess the most realistic. Geno seems like a stretch, but...
By the way, doesn't a Monster Hunter guy seem like it could be a possibility, too, since there's a Monster Hunter boss dragon in there?
Maybe. Just Monster Hunter. That could be interesting.
Yeah, it could be. Except, yeah, I don't really want Monster Hunter.
Yeah, like, neither do I. That seems like one of the most boring characters ever. But it's a possibility because clearly they're including Monster Hunter in some capacity. So you never know.
I mean, look, I can name drop like at least 12 characters from like Animal Crossing. You know, I'm sure Olivia can name drop 100 more Pokemon that can be included in the game, but.
Because Tim can't name over 800 Pokemon.
No,
right,
because
now
you would name every single Pokemon, Tim. That's the problem. You would just like,
I've been going at it like a realist.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we want to be the most realistic ever, we have to just narrow it down and say Captain Toad is the number one choice out of all of these.
Most realistic. I kind of think he is, actually.
Yes.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
I kind of feel Waluigi is the most realistic, followed by Captain Toad.
I think Nintendo is going to deprive the fans of Waluigi. I think they're getting
good.
I think they're getting off on withholding this one.
Good.
But who knows? Maybe Nintendo's going to throw us for a loop. You really just don't know. Maybe we'll get someone that's more a celebration of all of gaming history that we haven't really thought of. I wouldn't say Toad's a celebration of all of gaming.
Toad's a celebration, period.
I would prefer Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, to be honest, but anyways.
No.
Yeah.
Now we're getting into just random crap.
Right. Let's just name every franchise Nintendo's ever had on its console, starting with Wonderful 101. They're going to show up a console later. Anyway. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Nintendo's online service. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to N-Express. We are at our final segment where we're going to talk about the still ambiguous Nintendo Online service, which is set to come out in September. Are you ready to pay to play all of your favorite Mario Karts and Splatoons and soon-to-be Smash Bros? Well, you're going to have to maybe come September. And we really don't know what this service is going to look like, what it's going to fully include. And Nintendo has been very zip-lipped about it, kind of being Nintendo about it, if I'm being honest. So we wanted to talk about what we think it's going to be and the odds of it being something more than that and all of that good stuff when you talk about something that hasn't come out. These are all of our hopes and expectations for the online service. Ricky, I know that you have thoughts. Let's start with you.
The last time we talked about this, somebody got very angry and left a negative review. The one and only negative review we have on iTunes, because Patrick and I were, you know, just fooling around, cracking some jokes. And I think like the ongoing joke was we don't want to pay whatever it is, like $8 a month for ice climbers. Right. We were just joking around. So but someone got really like insulted. And, you know, we have a sensitive listener sometimes. So I'm not going to say anything but amazing things. I think this is going to be incredible. Amazing. It's going to be pitch perfect and everyone's going to love it.
Do we know how much it's going to be? Is it $8 a month?
$20 a year.
$20 a year.
Oh, that's not bad. Okay. I mean, I'm willing to do that.
And honestly, at that price, it's really nothing. It's a
right. It's not that big of a deal. But no. I don't remember if this was a thing. I have a question for you guys. Was it ever confirmed that we're going to the way to communicate with people online was through an app on the phone?
Yeah, they're going to have some kind of weird app
That is
it's the same one. It's the Splatoon app. It's the same app that they've been using for Splatoon kind of thing. It's their voice chat app. It's lame.
It's so weird. I don't know if I really like that. I mean, it's not the worst.
It's terrible. But yes. The thing is, you can, you know, nowadays, 2018, with internet and computers and whatnot, you can use Discord. You can hook up Skype. Right. You want to talk with your friends. The problem is it's a pain in the ass. Nobody wants to do it.
Now, here's the thing. As I have spent more and more time doing podcasts and a lot of online gaming and a lot of different stuff, Discord works better than Skype. Sometimes I swear it's more reliable than Xbox Live. So
I love Discord.
So, like, if Nintendo can get that quality because it's on a cell phone, then, like, they might be onto something. I'm not going to totally... I'm not going to say that I'm, like, fully onto this. Because I want, like, a standard party system. It's just the most simple, straightforward solution to chatting is just have a party system on your console. But if they can create some sort of, like, app-like community... Imagine if, like, this turns into Miiverse... plus game chat, plus a bunch of other, like, sharing features, that could be cooler than anything on Xbox or PlayStation.
And knowing Nintendo, they always like to be ahead and do, like, quirky stuff, so they might make it more than just a chat. And I really do like the idea of a sense of community, because that's one of the things I like about esports and video games is the community.
Are you saying, like, an app that you still have to use your phone? Like, because to me, like, I don't want to use. No, but I don't want to use a different device. And we've talked about this plenty of times in the past. Like, just release a controller in which you can plug in a headset and you can talk to your friends online. Because you know what? I've said this a million times on podcasts. It's the last time I'm ever going to say it. Patrick, what is the point of me having friends on my Nintendo Switch if I can't even talk to anybody? Like, I had this whole list of friends. All I could do is look at what kind of games you guys are playing.
That is all we do. We just creep on each other.
It's weird. It's pointless.
It's something they don't want this kind of stuff, though. They clearly don't want to have too much online chat. Mm-hmm. I think it kind of goes against the nature of the games they play or produce as well. I don't think they do couch co-op, so they know you're going to be sitting next to your friend and you're going to be yelling at each other.
Right, they're into party games.
Yeah, they include a lot of abilities for you to hurt your co-op player. But I think with games like Splatoon, they have figured out how to make nonverbal communication actually work pretty well in an online setting. So they just think, you know what, we don't want to get into that chat stuff. I don't think it's totally about the family-friendly thing, but I think it has a little bit to do
and
with that, that.
And that's why, Patrick, like Club if it's Penguin. 100% separate, if it's just an app that is on your phone and not on your console, then those kids that are playing Splatoon on the Switch who don't have phones... You don't have to worry about that.
Right, true.
You literally don't have to worry about what's happening.
I hate talking to children.
What kid does not have a phone? Like, what are you talking about? All kids have phones. I know the five-year-old that lives next to me has a phone. His phone is more expensive than my phone.
Well, then, at the very least, I don't ever have to become friends with that kid and talk to him in some sort of game chat.
True. You won't have to hear him unless you agree to.
Exactly. So if this app is just limited to talking to your friends and connecting with people online, then it could be crazy cool. I want Miiverse back as well.
It's crazy.
It's an inelegant solution, but it could end up being fun. That's
why
can't they just do the exact same thing
within the Switch, though? Why can't we just have our list of friends in the Switch, right? You can go and you can check your profile, and I can check Patrick's profile, and so on and so forth. So we have our list of friends. So why can't we just have a system, in the actual Switch that lets us communicate with our friends, not strangers? It's people who we are actually friends with. What's the difference of doing it on the Switch or doing it on the phone? Because that kid can still be talking to a stranger with this Nintendo app. You know what I mean? I just don't understand the difference. Why split the devices?
I don't know that the technology is built in on the Switch. They like online gaming,
but they don't want to get into online gaming. I think that's the bottom line right here. I don't think their game designers really... They do like the concept of being able to play with a lot of people around the world, but they don't like... Just sitting there and chatting.
So, like I said, it's like Club Penguin.
There you go. I think Nintendo had some vast philosophical differences from other game companies. They're weird like that, and I think we just have to accept.
I don't really mind it. I mean, the idea of an app is annoying, but I don't really feel I need to talk to someone in any of the games I'm planning to play on the Switch.
Well, and like,
no, me either. It'd be nice to have. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not thinking.
It's nice that I can be a total douchebag and only use the Octobrush in Splatoon and not have people message me getting mad that I only use the Octobrush and like demand that I 1v1 them right then.
Do you do you know what's funny now that I think about it is you guys said they're not really prioritizing chat. So they prioritize making your controller Joy-Cons sound like they have ice cubes in them over the ability to talk.
I think they consider that to be more meaningful feedback than the BS that people
and honestly, like,
it's like let people talk. Nah, they can have the sound of ice cubes in their Joy-Con.
So my problem, it's not because I need to play a game like Splatoon or Overwatch or Smash and I need to talk to strangers and or my friends while I'm playing. I'm not that type of person. I don't care. Like, I play Rocket League and I do just fine just, you know, without actually talking to people. What I don't like, though, is, again, I have all of these friends added to my Switch, but I can't talk to them. I'm talking about my actual friends who I add to my Switch. Like, I can't even send a text message to Patrick. If Patrick signs in and like I get the notification Patrick's online playing Skyrim, I can't message Patrick and hey, do you want to put Skyrim on hold and let's play multiplayer Mario Tennis, right? I can't even do that. So it just seems pointless. So like when we talk about what I want with the online system, yeah, I want to form my own community. I would love to have a Goomba Stomp sort of like channel where we could just talk with whoever writes for the website happens to be online playing Switch and we're playing Smash. I can talk to those people. I don't want to talk to the 5-year-old kid who lives next to me. You know what I mean?
Like, on its phone. That's better than yours.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. but that's one of the things I would like to see included. The price point is fantastic. We can all agree. Yep. There's no complaints. We are going to get like 30 games to start. Classic games, yes. Games I've purchased a zillion times.
They will have online functionality, though.
They will.
Could be interesting. We have no idea.
The problem is they've only, I think, announced 10 of the 30 games. But, you know, like we can all agree that if they start releasing Game Boy games, GameCube games, N64 games, we're going to be more than happy. Can you imagine having all of Nintendo's classic hits, like the entire collection
on
one console? Plus all the amazing indie games we're getting, plus all the AAA games, plus the new releases. Like, it's my dream console. It is my favorite console right now, period, to date, hands down. I love it.
Well, and, like,
it's weak.
I don't know about you guys. I really like owning all of something on, like, a very small amount of consoles. Like, between my Wii U and 3DS, I had, like, every Zelda game, just about, except for, like, two? Maybe even just one. And I was like, this is the best thing ever. I'm so happy at this because I have all of them right there. And that's such a cool feeling. So like, I'm with Rick. That could be really, really amazing. I don't know if we're going to get anything like that, but we've talked a little bit about Party Chat, the phone app, but Rick is pushing us in a new direction. And I think it's very valuable to talk about. What do we think is going to happen to the concept formerly known as the what were the Nintendo Classics called? I totally forget now. They're so
NES Mini and
the Virtual Console. Yeah. So, what do you guys think is going to happen to the artist formerly known as Virtual Console?
Well, if they want to keep fans happy, they should do, and I don't know how they can do this, but if there's a way for me to pay only $1 to get back the games that I purchased on my Wii U, because I think I have like over 40, I don't want to, like, I have every single Zelda game on my Wii U too, except for maybe one or two that weren't released on the Wii U, because a lot of those games I bought through the Virtual Console, the original Zelda, Zelda 2, et cetera, right? I would not have a problem paying an extra $1 to transfer it somehow to my Switch. I don't know how they could do it, though, because the Wii and the Wii U were so similar, like those two machines, like the hardware itself.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get that.
I know, but like it sucks. Like if only there was a way, because we used to have the Nintendo Points account too, right? Which, by the way, I don't know if you guys collect your gold coins, whatever you call it, but I actually got like 3 free games out of it so far.
Sweet.
Yeah, one of these days I'll get some games out of it. My Nintendo isn't exactly the most exciting thing ever. It used to be a lot better than it is.
I just want real stuff, Nintendo. It's not that hard.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're not obligated to do anything, and I get that. It's fine. They're obviously trying this was during the Wii U that they sort of cut costs. Maybe they'll start spending a little more now that the Switch is selling like gangbusters. As far as online goes, I mean, I don't know. Or as far as the games go, I'm not sure what will happen to Virtual Console. I honestly don't think that we'll necessarily see a Virtual Console like we did in the Wii U.
You know what I miss?
They'll do their online thing, and then they'll keep releasing games on a monthly basis or whatever. And I think that's it. I think it's going to be that's going to be the Virtual Console. They may sell packs, but I don't think that we're going to have these individual experiences anymore.
Hmm. I think they should add back that thing on the Wii where you created Miis and voted on them. And you had the question.
Me versus Dead.
Like, do you guys like... Don't remind me. Do you guys like summer or winter? And then everyone would answer. There'd be a vote at the end of the week.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah. I liked those. When those closed, I was like, oh, my God, my Wii's pointless.
I think Patrick's right. Dead. Like, when they release games on... What is it called again? Like, it's the Super Nintendo package? Like, I forget what it's... I'm so confused with what they're calling everything now. What do you call the virtual store for Nintendo Switch? Like, not like
the eShop.
Not the eShop, but what they're going to be releasing.
I don't think we know. I don't think it has an official title yet.
It's no name yet. Yeah.
Isn't it called like the Super Nintendo?
They
Nintendo
called it like something? The Nintendo Entertainment System something right. or other.
That's a long title.
It's like, I think it's Nintendo Entertainment System Online or something like that.
So I think what they're going to do is they're going to release these games, right? For like 30, 60 days, whatever it is, you're going to get your Ice Climbers, your Super Mario 1, 2, 3, et cetera, et cetera. And because you pay for your online membership, you're going to be able to play those games for a limited amount of time. And then afterwards, it's going to be removed and it's going to be added to the eShop. So if you really, really like a game, you will have the choice to actually buy it afterwards. That's what I think they're going to do. But it would be fine if they at least give you a discount on that game.
Oh, definitely. I mean, they may do something like that. It's hard to say. I'm not sure that they'll remove it. I don't think they're ever going to remove Super Mario 3 and like stick it in the vault. You'll never be able to download it again. I feel like you're always going to be able to play certain classic games. They might come out with special ones every now and again but that are only available for a limited time. But yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, do you think they're going to remove Super Mario 3 so you just can't play that? There are going to be times when you can't play that game. It could happen, but I don't see them doing that.
I doubt it. I don't know. Part of me is wondering if they're going to start, rather than just making you buy individual titles all over again, maybe they're going to start packaging them, like kind of like
I think they will.
You know, like you have all these classic, like Mega Man collection. Maybe they're going to start
Kirby
collections where it's like, hey, like buy every Mario game for $30 or something like that.
I think that would be really smart. Like, for example, you have Metroid Prime 4 coming out, right? Say like a year before the game gets released, or I don't know, maybe whatever, like sometime before the game gets released, you release all of the Metroid games and eventually you can just first they'll be free. Well, not free. They'll be available for whoever has the online membership so you can play these games. But then afterwards, you can actually buy the package where you actually own it. Because the problem with the online membership is you don't actually own these games. It's like Netflix, right? Like, once they remove the movie or TV show from Netflix, it's gone, right? You don't own it. At least in my virtual console on the Wii U, I owned those games. You know, I still have those games in my Wii U. So if they do something similar to that, I will be fine and okay with it. But I think, like, you know, yeah, it's Kirby's 25th anniversary. Release a bunch of Kirby games. It's Kirby. Luigi's Mansion 3 is coming out. Release the original two games. You know, they can play around with, like, themes. It's Halloween, so let's release a bunch of Halloween-themed video games, like horror video games. They could do stuff like that. I honestly think that people are going to be extremely happy once we know the details. I think they're just going to roll things out very slowly.
I think people are going to complain no matter what it is.
That's true.
Well, that's the nature of video gaming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I saw people complaining that when A Hat in Time was announced for Switch, that the developers told us it was never going to come to the Switch, but now it is. So screw the developers.
I was one of those people because I listened to the GI podcast and I kind of felt like he came across as being somewhat like of a douchebag because he's like, I don't want to put it on the Switch. Like, he was just so like angry at the Nintendo Switch.
Well, sure,
I was like,
but then they relented. It's like they can never change their minds. Or else the entire...
No, they cannot, Patrick. They cannot insult my beautiful Switch and then all of a sudden jump on a Switch because they want the money. No, I'm just joking. Anything else, Tim? Like, what else do we want? What are we afraid of?
Well, they're going to have the cloud save, so that's obviously a big feature, I think. We needed those cloud saves, man, because if your Switch dies right now, you're in a precarious position. So...
You know what my biggest fear is? My biggest fear is that when Smash gets released...
200 hours of Zelda, that's mine.
No, my biggest fear is when Smash gets released, the online system doesn't work properly.
It'll, like, crash.
Well, like, did you ever play it on the Wii U online?
Yeah, it was awful.
Okay, but have you ever played anything on the Switch? Have you played Mario Kart?
Yeah, but have you played Mario Tennis Aces online?
Okay, but that's, like, the individual game. The actual... Everything... Every other experience. Splatoon, Mario Kart... Everything
right,
else has been absolutely
but we do have one first-party Nintendo game that has issues when you go online. So because we have one, there's a possibility we can have a second.
But also,
we
already talked about, like, Mario Tennis Aces was the title they didn't care about. I don't think they developed that online.
And it was Camelot that developed that.
Yeah, it was Camelot dealing with all that.
Yeah. I think Smash is going to be fine. I think it's going to be great. I think they're gearing up to make this Smash the obviously the biggest, but the most perfect one. They're putting so much time and care into this thing; it's unbelievable. So I think it's going to work flawlessly when it comes out. I do not think that we're going to have a problem with that at all.
Yeah, I do think that people are just very skeptical of change. So I do think there's going to be like some growing pains, and I think some people are going to get bored. For whatever reason, even though there's
of Ultimate?
Not of Ultimate.
I was like, they would like never.
Of the online system, people are going to get tired of like the games that are there and for whatever reason complain that we don't have this game or that game and then not even buy those games when they actually come out. So I think it's going to be the same situation we've always been in.
Yeah.
But hopefully, I'm just really hoping that because Nintendo is bringing about change, the change is all for the positive, and I'm hoping this system just ends up being way better than anything before. Like, I'm hoping that's why the virtual console, as we know it, was abandoned because Nintendo had issues with it. I'm hoping that whatever they have in store is just infinitely better, but I'm skeptical, and that's the hard part, is I'm, you know...
I think it's going to be way... It's going to be better. Like, I can't imagine it not being better. The Wii U was way better than the Wii. Like, my God, the interface on the Wii was terrible.
Everything about the Switch has been better than the Wii U, so...
Yeah, guaranteed it's going to be better than the Wii U. It's a matter of, like, I have faith that the interface, the platform, just the system in general is going to look good and function well. I just am concerned about the games they release because, you know, they can still release an N64 Mini, you know, a GameCube Mini, make a shit ton of money by releasing actual hardware of these, like, ROMs, as opposed to including these games on the Switch. But the thing is, I bought my Super NES Mini. Actually, Ryan, your co-host of Game Boys Podcast, he got me the Super NES Mini when it was sold out and shipped it to me here in Montreal, and I've only used it once. Because I got my PlayStation 4, I got my Nintendo Switch, and I've played all of those games a million times. I'm going to eventually play it. Don't get
it's
me wrong.
It's more a collector's item, I guess.
It is. I will eventually, like, if I have an urge to write about, I don't know, Secret of Mana or something, like one of those games that's included, I'm going to go in there and, like, play that game from start to finish, because at the moment, I can't really play it anywhere else, right? But yeah, so we'll see. I'm excited. Honest to God, I want my Switch, I want my Switch to die in, like, by the end of the year. I want a new Switch. I want a Switch Pro. I'm ready. I'm ready for the jump.
No. Give me a... No, yeah. Don't listen to Nintendo.
No, exactly. It. No, I don't want that to happen at all.
Are you kidding me? I want to buy a second Switch. If it's a Switch Pro, just a normal Switch, I want to buy a second Switch next year.
I don't want a Switch Pro yet. It's too soon.
You know,
too soon.
I'm completely out of space, even with my SD card. I have like 60 games on a Switch now. I have no room.
You just got to start archiving them, that's all. You don't have to keep them all on there.
I want them all there. I want to see them.
See them. You can see them. You just can't play them unless you download them again, but you'll still see the little icon there.
But
you don't
have
to.
Inside, I know it's not on my Switch.
Oh, my God. OCD. Man,
yeah,
I started eliminating those things like crazy. I was happy to cut some of them out. And then I would hold it personal against some, like Celeste. where I didn't even want to see the icon on my Switch. I was like, I never even owned this game.
Well, you don't want to
forget it's the last ever happened.
Here's my first world problem, right? So there's been a few times where Nintendo sent me the review code in advance, right? But I prefer the physical copy, but I don't want to be like, hey, Nintendo, what's up? I want the physical copy, right? Like, I don't want to be like demanding things because it's Nintendo and I'm just a dude. But when they send me the physical copy, I'm happy, right? But when they send me the review copy, like a review code digital, and say it's like Hyrule Warriors, and I have to, or sorry, Fire Emblem Warriors, I have to download it. It takes up so much space in my Switch. So you know what I end up doing? I end up buying the damn game. So Nintendo sends me a free game. I still end up buying the damn game. I know. I got issues.
Nintendo's biggest cash cow over here.
Yeah, exactly.
They know what
they're doing it on purpose to make you buy it instead. Yeah.
They're like, well, we're never sending him a physical copy.
I mean, there is something to that. Notice the physical copy comes out like a month later every time now.
Oh, yeah. Owlboy. Yeah. I got the developer sent me. What?
Golf Story is getting a physical.
Are you kidding me?
I might actually buy that one. I wouldn't normally buy every indie as a physical, even the ones I like, but Golf Story I might have to have.
When does it get released? I need it.
September. I think it's in September.
Because Owlboy, the developer sent me the code, and I finished the game, and then I ended up buying the physical copy. It was released in May, and I'm really pissed off because I love the game Oxenfree, which we reviewed on the show. Tim, you liked it too, right? Mm-hmm. And they actually had a special limited edition, which is now sold out, and I missed out on it.
All right. Well, now that we're on to physical copies, I think we've gone off. That's all we need from online, Tim.
Yeah. Basically, what we landed on, Nintendo, from your online service, we expect physical copies.
Yes, exactly.
All right, 3D printers coming soon, so you can just print out your physical copies. Yeah, thank you all for listening. Thank you all for joining me today. It's been a good show. Olivia, where can we find you online?
I have a Twitter, but it's very hard to say out loud because it's half leet. So I don't know how to say that out loud for people.
You could spell it.
Okay. It is Yoshi Eggs. It's Y05H1. And then Eggs spelt with a Z at the end.
Right, but they can find you on Goombastomp.com. So if you just look for Olivia's articles.
Yeah.
Is your Twitter handle connected to your...
I don't think it is.
You should add it, yeah. I actually have to fix my Twitter handle. I forgot to link it properly.
I have an outro for us since I didn't do a unique intro.
That's a first.
That'd be good.
I'm going to defer to you. Okay, Patrick, where can we find you online?
Oh, you can find me, of course, at Goombastomp.com, where I'll probably be writing more about movies than games in the near future. But I'll get back to games eventually.
Movies are good.
Yeah.
I hear most people like movies.
Most people.
What about you, Ricky?
Well, of course, you can find me at Goombastomp, like us on Facebook, Instagram. You can follow us on Tumblr, Pinterest, just about everywhere online. As for the podcast, you can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Radio Player FM, Podbean, you name it. Leave us a review if you like the show. I am on Twitter. It's Goombastomp. And because Goombastomp, for some reason, Twitter won't give me the handle, Stomp is spelled with the number 0, STO0MP. So Goombastomp, it's complicated. I'm trying to... trying to talk to the guys over at Twitter is just like a nightmare.
Sounds like Twitter. I'm Tim Mason. You can find me at The Freemason, M-A-I-S-O-N, on Twitter, or check out my work on Goombastomp. I promise I'm going to be writing more here soon. I have like a bunch of ideas for articles, particularly about Destiny, because I'm getting ready for that massive expansion coming out, and that's just who I am. But so much to look forward to in the future of the show. So many games coming out. So stick with us. It's crazy to think that in a month we'll actually be talking about the online service. Plus a bunch of other stuff like Smash Bros., Pokemon, and so many other games coming out. So
imagine if we could do our podcast using the online service.
What? That'd be dope. I love this. Anyway, with that, Olivia...